Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
Here we are. I guess we'll call it the sleeper stretch. It ain't the home stretch, because this is just the wind down of the year, the nothing to do, nothing to write about, and only the cheerleading for 20,000. And of course, yesterday we were closed, and today we might as well have been closed as well. You know, again, it's a view into lack of interest, lack of trading. And that is what you're seeing, which is why we continue to be so painfully slow. But that is really, again, this is where traders and investors end up making mistakes with their own stuff. Because this is where you end up in a problem and you continue to worry about what is going to go on. And when really your worry should be is, what are you going to do for dinner? Not what are you going to trade today, okay? Because the bottom line is simple. There is nothing going on. So our concern should be, what is our availability to do next and not anything else? Because again, the big problem here is you can only find trouble in the market today because nobody cares. There's no interest out there at the moment. And when you have a market that is extremely slow and not much going on, it means it's harder to trade. It means that you're more or less guessing. And one of the things I always recommend is that if you want to be involved at this point in time, which I don't think that anybody should be, but if you want to be involved here, then you should be more concerned about looking for potential investments, because trading right now is not something that we're really interested in doing, because there is no real trade right now. Right now, there is, you know, potential for investment if there's something that you like, but if there's nothing that you like, then there's really no reason to be involved. And, you know, I talk about this all the time. And I think that many of you make the mistake that you try to get involved when, even if you're right, can you make any money? Now, we know that the business comes down to what? Making money. So if the opportunity to make money does not really exist, which it really does not exist now. And again, investing always has the opportunity to make money. Why? Because you're not investing for today. You're investing for tomorrow. So we can see how the market will continue, but we cannot see in the short term trying to make a trade here. You know, and it doesn't mean you won't be right. Again, I don't want to tell you won't be right. I'm just saying that if you lay out everything as I like to do on a probability scale, okay, then you, what you're going to do is you're going to find yourself in a much better spot, because you're going to play the probabilities that will come out. If you're trying to, you know, outsmart and outguess a market that doesn't want to go anywhere, then yeah, you could catch it. It could move. But the problem is most of the time it will move in an adverse direction, which will create more grief and more damage and more problems for you. Okay. And that is what I like to always worry myself about. Is if I'm going to be in, if I'm less than a 50-50% chance of winning, why do I really want to play? And I think that's something that it's a very common mistake that's made by many, is if you put yourself in a position of failure, you're probably going to fail. And that is something that, you know, I worry about all the time. Now, again, the only real trading right now to be done, if any, would be in futures, and that would be trading futures on a short term, on a short time frame. Because, again, the short time frames aren't looking for long term. We can get movement in a short, you know, couple of minutes. So, you know, I am doing a webinar on Wednesday, tomorrow, at 6 o'clock Eastern. If you'd like to join in, just shoot me an email and I'll send you the link. But, again, you have to focus. You know, last week we talked about trading plans. Well, part of your trading plan should be is when am I going to trade? And what do I need to be able to trade? And that's something that we focus on a regular basis. Why? Well, because at the end of the day, we have to be in a spot to be able to trade and be able to be successful. And that's always the hard part for most people to understand is their opportunity for success. Okay. And if you don't see a great big opportunity for success here, well, you're seeing it correctly. And if you do agree with it, then why the hell are you trading now? And that's something that, you know, I warn on a regular basis about, because it can happen anytime. But this time of year, it's almost always automatic that there is not much to do. So why try to create something, you know, when the odds are stacked against you? And that's always something that I worry about, you know, for myself as well. You know, I ain't perfect, right? And I have put myself in these positions that create a tough business. And all of a sudden, where am I? Well, I lose money because I'm not focusing on what I'm telling you. And that is the exact right thing to worry about, is when do we focus on the best opportunity for us to be successful? And that it always goes back to the same thing, okay? It's weighing the odds and the probabilities of the events occurring. And what are the odds or the probabilities of some event occurring in the markets that's going to start a massive slide or a massive rally? Now, there's a better chance for a bigger rally in here because there will be people buying, because there's always people buying. But after that, do I really want to be, you know, involved here? And this is a great time to, you know, take the week off. You know, I mean, listen, I only tell it like it is. That's who I am. I can't do anything better than to tell it like what I think. And to me, the trading now is not worth the effort that anybody would want to put forth to it, because what you're going to find out is that you're going to really see that you're only creating more problems for yourself and more troubles than actual opportunity. Because again, we talk about, you know, opportunity cost in the whole system. So if we put ourselves in a bad position, then we're going to fail more often. And if we fail more often, we're going to lose money more often. And of course, trading itself is about trying to make money. So do we really want to put ourselves in a position of failure when, why should we? We could wait and put ourselves in a position of success. Now, I know that was a long-winded explanation, but again, join me tomorrow night on about futures, and we'll talk about day trading futures, because it's good. It's free. You can get to hang out with me for a little bit and, you know, see me in my glory. I mean, again, it's about disciplining yourself to be successful. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you that libertytalk.fm will get you the download of The Bubba Show every day. And I want you to make sure that you check it out. And until then, go to bubbatrading.com and make sure that you look for the different events that we're doing. In the meantime, we're going to step by here for break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step by here for break. We will be back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we've seen some of the action in some of the less conservative areas, we'll say. And, of course, our guy Bill Whittle was right on top of it, so I was going to let you hear Bill Whittle, Steve Green, and how they have them tell you what's going on. I thought it was pretty interesting, so let's go check it out. Here we go.
Well, first it was all of the street protests that we saw immediately after the election of Donald Trump, and then, of course, came the supremely successful recount effort, which resulted in Donald Trump getting another 130-some votes in Wisconsin, I think. And, of course, then we saw the spectacle of liberals everywhere begging electors, begging them to not vote for Hillary Clinton by any means. No, but to vote for somebody against Donald Trump. And now we're starting to see more and more of the meltdown now that it's official. So this is your right angle, ladies and gentlemen, on the left's derangement of derangement. We talked about Trump derangement syndrome last time. I think it's a much deeper issue than that. So let's get down to brass tacks. Scotty, these people are losing their minds. Keith Olbermann did something. Well, he's doing something. He's apparently doing like a 75,000-part series on why Donald Trump is a problem from the basement of the GQ, the
GQ
washroom
bunker
back there. Yeah, that's right, where they keep the brooms and everything. And he's basically saying we're going to start the resistance, and we begin the resistance by refusing to call him president. That'll show him, the way that we could stop the Nazis by refusing to call Hitler Herr Hitler. We're just going to call him Hitler, and that ought to show him. Do you have any insight into what is causing this kind of absolute meltdown? It's not just Trump derangement syndrome. It's something bigger than that. It's like their entire worldview is coming apart, and they don't know what to do about it.
Well, I think there's fundamentally an idea within the progressive mind that things should work out the way I believe they should. And if they don't, any means to right that, or at least to protest the injustice, are acceptable. And usually those means involve either a breach of civility or a breach of law. Extra legal solutions to legal problems are, the way they do business. And so, you can't say, you don't see anybody on the left, and that's not true. You don't see these people on the left, the Keith Obermans on the left, saying, you know what? We got shellacked, as President Obama famously said after a midterm election. We got shellacked. We have some lessons to learn. We need to get out on the, among the people and find out what it is that they actually want from us. And you're not leading if nobody's following you. So let's go out and find out what we did wrong. No, instead, we assume that there must have been some shenanigans in some way. There must have been something, or there's something fundamentally wrong with the country in the sense that the Electoral College, which is woven and knit into our Constitution, is problematic. Whatever it is, it can't be introspection. It can't be looking in the mirror and saying, what did I do to bring this upon me? And I remember one time, and this is hard for anybody to do, frankly, but I remember one time years ago when I was just miserable because of something that somebody else was doing to me. And I just had this sort of aha moment. I don't know if it was like the word of the Lord came to me and said, what is your part in this, Scott? What can you, because you can't change other people's behavior. What can you change about yourself that would alter your perspective on the situation? And it just doesn't seem like people in the political realm, and certainly these progressives, can see it that way, because in their mind, there is a utopia a-coming just around the bend. And if it doesn't come rushing at them and put them in power to decide, exactly what utopia looks like, then something is wrong with the universe. Instead of acknowledging that it may be the universe is doing what the universe does, you're out of step, brother.
It'd be nice if somebody were to point out to the leftists this ignorant, semi-religious superstition that they live under constantly, this idea that this eternal sort of vindication is just around the corner and all we have to do is kill another 100 million people or so, and undoubtedly it'll get there.
Hey.
Steve, here's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, and I'd like to know whether you think this is intentional or subconscious. I'm beginning to think it's subconscious because you're seeing it everywhere. Just as an example, Bill Clinton was speaking a few days before he recorded this. And he said that James Comey cost Hillary the election because Comey had reinvestigated the new source of emails. We found out they were all on Wiener's computer. And Comey said, well, we got something else we're looking at. So he cost her the election. Bill Clinton seems to believe that either the Russians or especially FBI Director James Comey cost her the election. Hillary said that Obama cost her the election for not pulling back James Comey and keeping under a tighter rein. And nowhere in here anywhere do we hear the idea that James Comey was investigating an illegal server. The FBI was investigating 10 years of the most corrupt political influence in the Clinton investigation ever. The idea that it might have, the very idea that, Bill, the reason that the FBI director may have cost your wife the election, or these emails may have cost your wife the election, is because they're true. It's because they're true. It's because they happened. Maybe a candidate who wasn't under investigation from the FBI would have done a little better than your wife. That thought ever in your head? But it doesn't seem to, Steve. Do you think that they're that deep into the bubble that they just believe this stuff now?
Oh boy, such a great question, loaded with so many facts. But the essential fact is that Hillary Clinton ran a campaign based on why won't you mouth breathers vote for my vagina, and then is furious that it didn't pan out for her.
Imagine.
It was, look at the month of August. I was a little worried. Donald Trump came out of the GOP convention badly, if you'll recall. But Hillary, instead of capitalizing on Trump's stumble out of the gate coming out of the convention, she essentially stopped campaigning. She spent the month of August doing fundraisers in rich people's living rooms. She was not on the stump. She was not pressing the flesh. She was not doing any of the things that a candidate is supposed to do. So while we were fretting, and we were fretting, that the size of rallies aren't a good indicator of support, we neglected the fact, and I'm talking about the three of us here, we neglected the fact that Hillary Clinton was running an even worse campaign based on the size of her friends' checkbooks. And, you know, she set a record haul in the month of August. I think it was $143 million in a single month. And she spent it on TV ads that people didn't watch because they're downloading their TV shows from iTunes or Netflix, or they zip past them on their TiVo. If anybody still has a TiVo, I know we do. And she bought the wrong kind of ads. Instead of talking about a vision for America, she talked about Donald Trump's character, which people already knew and had discounted. And even though she had spent most of her adult life planning for this very moment, she still did not have a message other than why won't you mouth breathers vote for my vagina? What a terrible candidate. What a terrible campaign. And oh my God, if they can't even reach that level of introspection, this party is going to spend 4, 8, maybe even 12 years in the wilderness. And boy, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of crybullies.
Yeah.
Bill, I can say for a certainty that had they put on a bumper sticker that slogan that Steve just repeated twice, they would have done better than they did.
Honesty is the best policy, isn't it, Scott?
I believe it.
You know, folks, it's a...
Yeah, and it is interesting. And of course... that's why we like, you know, talking with Steve and Scott and Bill and listening to what they have to say. And of course, you know, I've said this many times here myself. And again, I don't care who you voted for, but, you know, let's worry about, you know, now. Let's move on forward. And we've got more to play from that interview, but I want to, you know, kind of come in here. But let's move forward instead of backward. I mean, I think this is one of the big problems we see in the country today is that we continue to look back instead of moving forward. You know, Mike Ditka, the famous coach of the Chicago Bears, said the past is for cowards and losers. So now that we have the Donald as president, I mean, why don't we at least give him a chance? You don't have to necessarily go out and support him, but do you really want him to fail? Because if he fails, that means we all fail. And I think that's one of the bigger problems that nobody just thinks about. I have a problem with that. We're all Americans, number one, I hope. And that would be the thing that I would have a problem with. But in the meantime, we'll come back with more from Scott, Bill, and Steve. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, libertytalk.fm is the place you go to download The Bubba Show every day. And, of course, we're watching BillWhittle.com. But in the meantime, make sure you download every day and make sure that you go to BubbaTrading.com. A lot of .coms here, but make sure you go to Bubba Trading And check out, because tomorrow night we've got a futures webinar trying to help you day trade futures. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And we'll be right back with more from the guys, Bill Whittle and Scott and Green and Scott Ott. And we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz.
He's so delicious.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, on this holiday week, and you know, we're entertaining with a little bit of Steve Green, Scott Ott, and Bill Whittle, and let's go back to their take on the over-liberalized other side, just for some kicks and grins. Let's go back to right now. Here we go.
Strange mental disease when you're up in arms and furious that the reason you lost the election was because some nefarious force, either WikiLeaks or the Russians or James Comey, revealed the truth to the American people. How dare they do such a thing and get in the way of my coronation? So it's not just Hillary's meltdown or Bill's meltdown or even people like Keith Olbermann's meltdown. It's the fact that half of the people in this country cannot accept the fact that Donald Trump has won. And the reason they can't accept it is not because of their dislike for Donald Trump. The reason they can't accept it is because they have been put in a situation by this election result where they have to make a decision. And the decision they have to make is a very serious one. It's a subconscious one. But the decision goes something like this. Either the American people have figured out that what we are doing is wrong, that they don't like our policies, that Barack Obama's been a catastrophe, that every time Barack Obama won in 2008, every single election, the Democrats did worse and worse and worse. The Republicans took the House, and then they took the Senate, and then they took the presidency. So on some level, these people, whose entire identity really is to tell everybody how much smarter they are and better they are than Republicans, every single indication that they've had to face in terms of reality goes against their self-image. It's their very picture of themselves. So they have to decide, do we want to confront this false image we have of ourselves and realize that we may be wrong about everything, that you can't have 40 million open racists voting for somebody, or do we construct an alternate reality in which we can get to maintain our beliefs and especially our sense of virtue and our ability to signal virtue to others? Do we create a false reality, which seems much more real to them than the one that actually happened, by the way, a reality where they are, in fact, the smart people and they are, in fact, the people who are beloved by the masses? And if it weren't for those idiots out there in flyover country, those few hundred or thousand rubes that live out somewhere between Los Angeles and New York, if they hadn't been given a steady diet of fake news and Russian intervention and FBI intervention and all of this stuff, then obviously our worldview would have triumphed and things would be back to their normal state. The indications are, at this moment, that they will not learn anything from this election. The indications are, in some ways, that they're going to think that the answer was they were not progressive enough.
Yeah.
I certainly hope that's the case, because they've done enough damage and I don't want them to do any more. But they are living in a state of psychological distress. And as we've said many, many, many times on this show, the reason that conservatives are stronger people emotionally and mentally and intellectually than liberals is not through any natural selection or anything. It's simply that we have to deal with their message every single day. Every single day on Saturday Night Live and on CNN and every time a movie star opens his mouth, we get to hear about their opinion and their opinion of us. And we have to face it. Are we this or are we not? They've never heard this before. They didn't want to hear it before. Reality knocked it into their heads, and reality is going to fail. I'm telling you, the next 4 years are going to be just an endless, endless series of whining and complaining and scapegoating so that they do not have to face the reality that their ideas don't work, that Hillary Clinton is a criminal, Hillary Clinton is a terrible candidate, Bill Clinton is a rapist. The FBI was doing a job investigating some of the worst corruption in American history. The American people woke up to this giant scam, and that Barack Obama's legacy, which was made up of executive orders, is written in pencil and is going to be erased, and there won't be anything left except for a man on TV constantly harping about all the good things that have happened now that he's gone really are his credit, and all the bad things that happened in his time were blamed on somebody else. He started it the moment he came in, and he's going to do it to the moment he goes out. And good riddance to all of them, I say. That's our end of 2016 message for you out there, progressives. You go ahead and make your choice. Do you want to face the reality, or do you want to not? I'm taking bets for this over at BillWhittle.com, and there's a big spread to cover because I think the knots are way, way ahead.
And let me just issue an invitation to the progressives. Come home to planet Earth. Come.
Scott, they don't like planet Earth.
Accept reality.
No, come, they don't like Earth. They don't want to come to Earth. No, you don't understand. They don't want to come to Earth. Earth is filled with Walmarts and McDonald's, and Earth is filled with people who don't dress quite as well.
They hate human beings.
Yeah, and Earth is filled with people who don't attend celebrity parties and who apparently don't appreciate what a really fine, you know, Pinot Noir tastes like, and don't understand any of the details of the French you know, poetry of the entire existentialist movement. That's why they don't want to come back to Earth. They don't want to come back to Earth because they don't like it here. They're trying to change us into their planet, Troflamador. It didn't work.
That might be our second Vonnegut reference in 8 years of doing this show.
It didn't work, and I hope it won't work again. In any event.
And, of course, that is our guys, you know, and I mean, look, I don't care what side you sit on, but a lot of what they say makes a lot of sense. You know, again, I'm not telling you to agree or disagree. I'm not telling you to change your personal opinion if you were on the other side. But when you look at the overall picture, we would have to, I think hopefully we would all agree that there was a lot of mistakes made in the last campaign. There was a lot of issues. And I'd like to just move on and move forward because, again, we have a lot of work to do. No matter who got in the White House, we have a lot of work to do. But now we really have a lot of work to do because we've got to make up for everything that has been done in the past. And you can see that the markets seem to like the potential of what's coming because it is more business friendly. And I can remember a time not that long ago that actually the Democratic Party was also more business friendly. And I can remember a time when, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world who made home care affordable. And the Elizabeth Warren's, the nut jobs that were running around, were not in control of that party. And they were more business friendly because at the end of the day, we need business friendly if we want to run all of their programs. So why is it that we seem to be so separated today, you know, on an actual way of thinking? I mean, at the end of the day, no matter who's in power, if you want to run programs, you got to make money. You got to have companies that are making money because as we've seen proven time and time again, when you run out of other people's money, you have nowhere to go. I mean, if you look at this dope Bernie Sanders, who's now talking, and now their new thing is the nuclear war that Trump is starting. And again, do we really think that he can start the war by himself and that he's even doing anything? You know, maybe he's a little bit smarter. You know, he did figure out how to beat 16 candidates and then win the presidency when nobody gave him a shot. Okay. And you can say for whatever reason he won. But at the end of the day, he did win. And, you know, you have to get off of these idiots. I mean, Bernie Sanders is an idiot who never had a job, okay, except in government. And, of course, we have to get people that actually know what the real world is about, what it means to get up and go to work, what it means to maybe get fired, okay? What it means not to live off of your campaign funds and out of the campaign coffers, okay? That's what people need to learn, is what is the real world? I'd love to see, you know, President Obama actually once do something in the real world, okay? You know, that he doesn't, he can't just control. And that is something that, you know, I think is missing from the office and from the government, is that half of them don't know what it is to go out and really do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And I think that, and I'm not talking, you can take either side of the aisle for that. I'm not, this is not partisan. This is either side. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, do we really, can't we just really just, you know, figure it out that if you want things to prosper, that no matter what party's in the White House, no matter what party's in the Senate, that there has to be real jobs created so that we can actually make real money. Do you know that real money can be spent? The artificial crap that we keep hearing about cannot be spent. And it's an amazing fact that if you actually have people building businesses and working, they actually do pay taxes. And we can actually get a government that could actually work. And that's where I do think that Trump and gang will really bring down the opportunity to see that we can actually work it up, and that we can actually potentially run in a budget, and we can actually do something without having the dopes from the Federal Reserve printing more money at every turn. And I think that that's the story that we have to look forward to in 2017, is enough of the crap. Let's move forward already. And let's actually let people work so they can actually go out and spend some money, so that people that are in business can actually make some money instead of closing their doors. I mean, it's tough enough when Amazon and Walmart are trying to put everybody out of business to begin with, and then people have enough to spend, so there's not enough to share. And that, I think, becomes the bigger issue when we look at the big picture. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is let's let the real markets take place. When did it become that we didn't have real markets? But we're going to talk about more of that when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, you know that LibertyTalk.fm can get you a download of The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge on the weekends and The Bubba Show every day. All I have to do is go there, and that is really, the only station that you need anyways. So go check out LibertyTalk.fm. And on your way, stop over at BubbaTrading.com and make sure you get signed up for the webinar tomorrow. It's free. Futures, how to trade them. We're going to stop by our break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
After 10,000 beers,
welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back. And, you know, as I said,
it's about time.
Wouldn't it be nice just to have a real free market where nobody got involved? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to sell something or do something without some asshole stepping in between you? Now, again, you know, there's an old saying, you know, let the buyer beware. But with all the regulations, have we not seen more of a pickup in more of these crimes? Okay. Because more people are trying to figure out more ways to scam because everything else is so much more of a challenge. Wouldn't it be nice just to have a real market with real price discovery where we could actually just let the markets trade based on value? I mean, that would be such a refreshing change, something we have not seen for such a long time. I mean, before I become senile, which I'm partway there, and lose my mind, I'd like to one more time in my life see a market that were free and that we actually had a true price discovery model instead of the true garbage model that we have right now. It'd be nice to see that the leaders who have no clue, and we can start with Draghi and go to Abi and go to Yellen and go to Bernanke and go to Alan Greenspan and go to anyone you want who have absolutely no freaking clue of what's going on around them and could not find themselves a way home if you dropped them in a field somewhere, because I'm sure they couldn't read a map or a compass. Wouldn't it be nice just to get rid of them and just let the real markets take over? And you know what? If we have a depression in the real markets, oh, well, okay. What does depression usually come from? It comes from overexuberance and overspending anyways. Okay. You know, what they don't realize, in my opinion, is they create this method. Okay. You know, they created this phony artificial wealth. You know, when they started building bubbles, they created that security blanket of, oh, man, there's easy money, baby. I'm going to crank out that easy cash. And, of course, what happens is it fails. Whereas, yes, there's been failures in history. There's been many big failures. But all the failures are usually related to the same thing. Okay? Greed. Well, if you get greedy, you deserve to fail. Where is it written that a guy who gets greedy and screws up and fails is not allowed? Now, you can start again with one of our favorite targets, the old bankaroos. I mean, why are they so much above everybody else? Why is a bank any better than anybody else as far as what they can do and what they can't do? I mean, can you explain that to me? I mean, raise your hand if you'd like to see, you know, the free markets come back. Raise your hand as you'd like to get rid of all these ridiculous entitlements. And Social Security is not an entitlement, although they do count it as one, but it's something that you paid for yourself, okay? I mean, why do you think you paid every year 6% of your income for 50 years or 40 years or 80 years or whatever the hell it is, okay? That was to get these benefits. Can we help it that the idiots who were running the money are stupid? Okay, is that our fault that they didn't know what to do with the money? I mean, is it our fault that these pension funds are melting down because they let the guys running the pension not run by the rules? You know, again, why is it that we, you, me, and the rest of the middle class, either get screwed by or have to pay for all the wonderful work that the idiots do? Just explain it. If somebody could explain that to me, I would be grateful. Because I don't understand why I'm using I as us, but why I have to pay for the idiocy of someone who has no idea what they're doing, doesn't do their job, so I have to pay my taxes to help bail them out. I have to pay more for goods and services through the, as they like to say, the hidden tax of inflation. Okay? Now, why is it that we have to have inflation? Does it make sense? There should be natural growth, I agree. But why are we targeting an inflation? Would we not have inflation if the idiots would have stepped out of the way a long time ago and let free markets take over? Would we not be having a thriving society right now? I would like to say that we would. I would think that there'd be we'd be thriving right now if they would have left things alone and let the markets work things out. I mean, when did economists, when did the president, when did the Fed, when did the government become smarter than a free market? I mean, it's a pretty simple question. I mean, when did these people become smarter than a free market? Okay. Now, from my knowledge, there is nothing smarter than an actual free market. Okay. From my point of view, I mean, you know, you have a buyer and a seller. Does the buyer sometimes take advantage of the seller? Yeah. Does the seller sometimes take advantage of the buyer? Yeah. So what? Isn't that the price you pay for not doing your homework? Okay. Instead, what do we get instead? We get a government screwing us all, okay, and not giving anybody a chance. And then what do you end up doing? You end up spending more money in litigation and more money doing garbage than you do actually taking care of business. So, but of course, we allow all this stuff to happen. So I want to know, you know, why can't we just go back to a free market system? Okay, why is it that I have to be basically told what I'm paying for? Okay, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, look, if you can't stay on budget, why do I have to be responsible to pay for more? If you're a bank and you can't stay in business, why do I have to bail your ass out? Why can't you go out of business? I mean, certainly, okay, you can't have it both ways. Okay, if the Federal Reserve is a lender of last resort, okay, and they're going to print the money anyways to bail somebody out, why bail out a criminal, okay, a gangster, and somebody who overlent to anybody when they could have just simply printed the same money and paid back the people that got tagged by that? Now, where's the logic in all this? See, these are always the problems that I have when I see all this and I listen to it. You know, I'm a pretty logical guy. And I don't find it logical. I mean, let the bank look at if J.P. Morgan. I don't have any idea if they were ones in trouble, but that's the first one that came to the tip of my tongue. Okay, if they're going to go out of business, and the government says, "Well, no, they're too big to fail. We have to make them solvent." Well, they don't really make them solvent. They let them pay their bonuses. They let them take all the money, but they don't take care of the depositors. We do. Why don't they just make the depositors whole and pay all their deposits, let them go bank somewhere else, and let J.P. Morgan go bust-a-rooney? I never understood that. I mean, the way they're doing it, it doesn't seem logical. It seems like we're being double-taxed. So where is that logical, right? Where does that work out? So if you're too big to fail, you're just an idiot, okay? I mean, because certainly a big company, by using the proper skills of discipline and diligence and taking care of business, would most likely not go out of business, or at least it wouldn't be a surprise. All of a sudden, one day you wake up and they're out of business. They might have been preparing for it long before that. Okay, but you see, that's the problem in today's country, in today's system, is they've got a backstop, us. Why? Because the good old American people, they'll just figure out a way to tax us more, so we can pay for the crap that they're doing. I mean, why do you think we're truly still in problems? Because we're still too busy bailing out the gangsters, okay? For lending out to everybody, okay? The only mistake I made, I didn't borrow enough in those days, okay? You know, because maybe I could be too big to fail, you know? And that's kind of where the rub meets the road. I mean, you know, what picks what is too big, okay? And why is it somebody who also prints money? And why is it somebody who's in the same industry as the Federal Reserve? Because it is a banking industry, and the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. So as far as I'm concerned, free market should be back. And if you can't make it and you fail, then you fail. God bless America. That's the way it should be. That's my opinion. It may be right, it may be wrong. But in my opinion, it is right. And that's just, again, that's my opinion. This is an opinion piece. This is an opinion show. And this is Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm, you can get the download of the show every single day if you'd like. And, of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, tomorrow night I'm having a special webinar on futures that I'm going to go ahead and share and give some education on part-time day trading. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, hopefully we'll get back to work here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.